Amen. Well, as you grab your Bibles and grab your note sheets and find your seats again or whatever, that'd be fine. Now, let's get to Ecclesiastes tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Chapter 5, and whether we get through the end of the chapter tonight, we'll see. We'll work through it and go from there. This may be one of the ones we stretch into another week, but that's fine. So, dealing with a lot of the frustrations of life. In the last week, 2 weeks, we talked about trying to come before God and Solomon giving the warning to his listener, the reader, to be careful, don't just make frivolous promises to God. Last week, we talked about some of the frustrations, really, of having a civil authority. It's a good thing, but it comes with plenty of frustration. And civil authority is not the answer to life. Never will be. God didn't design it that way. If it's done well and rightly, it hinders sin and promotes righteousness. And if that's accomplished through a civil authority, then we rejoice in that, don't we? That's a blessing. But even at the end of the day, he says there in verse 9, a king is better than anarchy. And that's true. And we're grateful for that. Maybe we can, in American culture, a king that allows anarchy, that's a problem, all right? we're grateful for the structure that God has put in to hem in sin and help us to be nice to our neighbor. Now, remember, one of the motivations of a civil authority that drives him to do what he does is, bottom line, is personal wealth. And he mentions that in verses 8 and 9 there. And so this turns again now, as we come to verse number 10, for another consideration of money and wealth, and does it provide any kind of satisfaction in life? And so you can see the title tonight, The Frustrations of Wealth versus God's Gift of Joy. And there's a comparison that goes on. Solomon, at the end of chapter 5, is coming to a brief conclusion. It's not, chapter 6 is really a stronger conclusion of the entire chapter, and then it's really the end of the first half of the book, and then we step on in some, not necessarily new themes, but broader picture themes as we get into chapter 7, where there's wisdom is continuing to be poured in into the conversation, God's wisdom. So in verse number 10, again, the focus and tension on wealth is drawn. So let's read verse 10. We'll read all the way down to verse 20, and then I'll come back and comment. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, so that's kind of the overall theme a little bit. You can't get satisfaction from wealth abundance, all right? And now he's going to give some reasons and some examples why it doesn't work. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat or little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil or a sore travail, a bad work. This is a view of life, he's really saying. There's a sore evil which I've seen under the sun. He's going to give you an example, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. To their hurt. Well, here's the example. But those riches perish by evil travail. So I'll explain it in a minute, but he tries to use it wisely and it fails. And guess what happens? So he doesn't have any money, no abundance, and he begetteth the son, and there is nothing in his hand to give to his son, essentially, is what he's saying there. So as he came forth of his mother's womb, shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. Speaking here really of, is there any value in what all he tried to accomplish in life without God? And what's the eternal value, right? Verse 16, and this also is a sore evil. Notice he repeats himself. These are kind of like bookends of the theme. Then at all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? With God out of the picture, the labor, the work, the travail of man is just for the wind. All his days, sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Behold, which I have seen. Yes, I think we're dying in and out, aren't we? So, Eric is looking around. Yeah, I'm feeling it too. So, if you want to come give me another microphone or whatever, that's fine. Verse 18, behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all of his labor that he hath taken unto the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him the power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. Another gift from God, verse 19, verse 20. For he shall not much remember the days of his life. That sounds bad. I'm going to explain it to you, Lord willing, tonight or next week. Because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. So the end of the verse is joyful. So the first part of the verse is really actually a joyful section as well, as we deal, again, with a lot of poetic statements here in this verse. So back to our notes then. And I'm going to, as we get back to verse number 10. So here's really is the reality about abundance, not necessarily about just wealth, but having whatever, you know, the Lord providing abundantly for you. And people live, you understand that, this is a normal. In fact, Christ even said, you cannot serve God and mammon, all right? This whole passion and pursuit of the abundant life, the good life, what we call in this country the American dream, all right? That was not always the stated goal in our country, even in our civil or in our culture. Early days of our country, we understood the responsibility of life, and we were much more concerned about handing on to the next generation truth than just coins, okay? Can I put it that way? But that's what he's talking about. What we see expressed in our culture often in numerous ways is about getting stuff for me. Abundance, all right, wanting abundance. So, verse 10, really, though abundance is pursued passionately, abundance never satisfies. Without God in the picture, wealth, it's like, you remember Howard Hughes, the famous quote, you've got all this money, Howard, what would you like? What more? Just a little bit more, he said, just a little bit more. Isn't that something? And that what an amazing expression of this verse right here. It never brings satisfaction to the soul. The pleasures of sin are for a season only. The prodigal son discovered that real well. Partied hardy and didn't bring any satisfaction. Didn't create any really true friends. And so when the money was gone, there was no one. He was as... it says later in this passage, desolate and all alone. Okay, so verse 10, though pursued passionately, abundance never, never satisfies. And remember, this is evangelistic. And so as we share the gospel and you come across someone who is really pursuing wealth instead of God, bring them to this verse. You know what? You get silver and what do you want? You want more and it just never satisfies. And you may be wealthy as all get out, all right? And yet that's just empty. It doesn't have any true value to satisfy. So verse 11 then. So when goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving to behold them with their eyes? All right, so he's having a little bit of fun here. So abundance, on your notes, abundance breeds more mouths. The more you get, more mouths, yes. Well, and I'll fill in the rest of the blank, because the other blank, all right? And tired eyes. All right? So what do I mean by that? Well, through numerous reasons, we can think of the more mouths as leeches. You get money, and then everybody's begging for you to give them a dollar. But also, one of the things that often happens with the building of wealth, and it comes with the building of an enterprise of some sort, well, then you get employees, and they want their fair shake too. All right? More mouths to feed. All right? That's the way it works. That's life. And if you're living for wealth, it seems to have, as Solomon says in the book of Proverbs, money has wings and it flies away. It just keeps on flying away. The car breaks down. All right, okay, there you go. So, abundance breeds more mouths, but then it also breeds, as I said here, it breeds tired eyes. What do I mean by that? That's the end of verse 11. You see, He gets tired, the wealthy man with his abundance gets tired of trying to protect his money. It's like, oh, I just had all this money and now it's all gone again. Money has wings, it's going to fly away. And so that wealthy person, he beholds it and it's gone. And he's just worn out from trying to hang on to that money. Again, no satisfaction. That's why it's listed under verse 10 here. Now, verse 12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat or little or much. But the abundance of the rich shall not suffer him to sleep. So a man that is working at his job may not have a lot to eat, but boy, he goes to sleep and he's out cold. And why would he sleep well? Well, the comparison is to the rich man. And so look at our notes here. Abundance comes with the noose. What's that noose? It's the noose of anxiety. Oh, what's going to happen? The stock market just went down 1,000 points today. Oh, no! I can't sleep tonight. You know, I just had $100 million and now I only have $50 million. And that's just one illustration. So when you get abundance in the life without the Lord, all right, and make sure you understand that that's what Solomon is saying. He's helping the sinner who loves mammon to see how futile it is to try to pursue this stuff. That's not the right God to pursue. So it comes with this noose around your neck. It's called anxiety because you're always worried about it. And I've even seen it among believers. They're getting their nest egg, and then all of a sudden happens, and or something, and the money flees away. I remember when I finally was able to sell my house in Michigan. Remember the night I came and told you, I'm homeless and I'm happy. that the Lord even helped me actually get out from underneath that situation because of the stock market, because of the real estate market crashing and all those kinds of things. It was an amazing thing. God took care of me. And I will tell you, because God was gracious and working in my heart, though it was a burden, I won't deny that, and years of wondering what's going to happen, and a renter's that, oh, the stories are crazy. And then the Lord just took care of it all. You just lean on Him. Lord, you know I'm doing everything that I think is right biblically, and guess what? I'm homeless and happy, all right? And that doesn't happen to the worldly wise that just pursue mammon. It comes with all kinds of anxiety, and they can't even sleep at night because they're worried. Okay, so then we come to this major, major section. We're right at 8 o'clock, and I am not going to try to jump through the hoops here tonight, all right? So we're going to stop here. Let me give you just a little clue, all right? So right under verse 13 there it says, abundance has no guarantee of health and comfort. You see, often, verse 13, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. So even what we might consider in this life, somebody who's really smart, financially smart, he's trying to be wise and careful, but he is putting his in his basket of comfort and peace, wanting good health, wanting peace and satisfaction in this life, he's putting it all in wealth. And it can't be there. Abundance cannot guarantee anyone health or comfort. Christian, you know who the answer is, right? It's a who, not a what. Only God gives health and comfort. My life is held in the Lord's hands. And I trust Him. And if He works and desires that I go through struggles health-wise, it's okay for the believer. Because I don't find comfort in being able to have all kinds of physical strength and health. Now, I take care of the temple that is God's given us, for sure. But that's not where I find my comfort and peace. All right? And the same thing. Wealth cannot provide the peace of soul that only God can. So that in any circumstance in life, you can't buy yourself peace. Only God provides peace. And so then what he's going to do with the next verses down through verse 17 is he's going to explain a scenario in which
he demonstrates that this is really true, that abundance has no guarantee of health and comfort. Just because you have all of your life insurance policy, your health insurance policy, Medicare, Medicaid, and supplemental insurance as well, all right? Oh, and car insurance, and you've got homeowners insurance, and fire insurance, and flood insurance, and you've got a tin roof on your house instead of, you know, not a tin roof, a metal roof now. You've got all your bases covered. You can sit at home and relax, right? No, without God, you can't. You can't. Only God provides for health and comfort. He is the provider. That's why we call him the great physician. That's why the Spirit is called the comforter. And until a person is willing to submit to God, let him be the Lord of his life, let him be his Savior, he will never find, even in abundance, never find health and comfort. So, all right, well, there's the carrot, in a sense, out there as we strive to share the gospel and help them to point to God. The answer is who, not what, will give me comfort and peace. Okay, let's pray, and then we'll get into this next week. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the things we've already just been reminded of. In many ways, these folks understand this, but it's healthy for us to remember again spiritually that pursuing wealth, pursuing abundance does not satisfy. It comes with all kinds of difficulties and problems, and so it shouldn't be the God of our life in any way. Lord, we are grateful for your provision, and we're going to see that at the end of this passage, Lord willing, next week as we get to it, that you provide and I can enjoy what you've given, but I see it as a gift from your hand, and I rejoice in my God, not in the gifts of what you give in this life to have. So I pray that you would help our spirit to be right. Help us to worship God, not mammon. Help us to serve God, not mammon. And help us to tell others about the good God that it's who is wonderful to follow and obey. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, I trust you have a good rest of the week. Again, don't forget to be praying about the children's program. And we'll look forward to seeing you, Lord willing, on Sunday.